Father, we are so thankful for each and every day that you give unto us. And Lord, Buddy and I was just talking about and thanking God for the safe trips that we've had, the many trips that we've made over the years here and also to Elmwood, and no accidents, always been safe. Thank you for your hedge of protection, oh God. Thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy with our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the word that you bring forth through our pastor, Father. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, Lord, we ask that you be glorified, that you be glorified in everything that we say and do. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and start in chapter 7, verses 24 or 25. There, just in case there's something that anybody wants to bring out, I know that I felt a little nudge from it. Brenda, you...
I think
is it Brenda's turn to read?
I read all this last.
Yeah, he read the same thing too.
So we're doing it again?
Yeah.
All right. This is Matthew 7, 24 to 29.
It's out of the
Amplified
Bible.
Yes. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. When Jesus had finished these words, the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed and bewildered with wonder at his teaching. For he was teaching as one who had and one authority, and not as did the scribes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Off the top of your head, does anyone have anything there? I knew it. Clyde always prepares.
I was going to say, I think sometimes... We just act like that was it. No, 27, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. And it says, great was the fall of it. I want to talk about what's the fall of it. Okay, it's got a reference here for Hebrews 10, 31.
Mm-hmm.
And then the King James, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's about the fall of it. That's where we fall, into the hands of a living God. Now, I said that, I'll say this. Somebody told me somebody couldn't forgive one time. And the Lord told me to tell them, well, you tell them that the Lord told me I would not want to fall into an unforgiving God's hands.
Oh.
Because I believe that's the fall. I believe that is the fall. Because the scriptures, there's too many scriptures that say, forgive and you shall be forgiven. But if you fear not, I mean not fear not, but if forgive not, you won't be forgiven. Is that how that goes? You know what it says? Basically?
And in the Our Father.
I mean, and I think, you know, so many times, my brother once told me, he goes like this, when I got saved, he said, I heard God's voice as clear as I hear yours. And he said, and the Lord told me, he said, I'm not calling you again. He said, I ran to the altar because I knew his voice. And he said, and God don't lie. If he's not going to call on you again. So I said, well, you know, I said, I believe God does whatever it takes. Now, we're reading this, and I remember a Sunday school teacher of mine one telling me, well, you know, the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. In this case, the just would have been the ones that built their house on the rock, right? I mean, I'm not trying to. But the unjust would be the ones that didn't. And I believe that that rock at all times is always Jesus Christ. It's not some other fancy rock or whatever. It's always Jesus Christ. When it talks about the rock, he is that rock. So when you look in your life and you look at families, in your families, the difference between maybe you who fell on that rock, you depend upon that rock, and those that didn't or don't, is that very scripture. I mean, when I see peace that, yeah, I guess I should say it like that. When I see peace in families that aren't shaken but stand firm, in my vision, they're the ones that stand firm is always on the rock. The ones that are being shaken, or I don't know how to say it, shaken or troubled, or some way, haven't made the major decision to depend upon the rock. Is that a fair statement? Mm-hmm. Is it everybody's family in here or just mine? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
I mean, you know, Oscar, I'm gonna use your mom. You usually don't have a godly woman ask you at a time of visitation with other relatives, go and ask you to pray for their children. But you realize, first of all, it's coming from a mother's heart, but it's also coming from a godly mother's heart. So her cry of her heart was that they would know the Lord. Amen? So, you know, I mean, there's so many times that we don't apprehend what the Holy Spirit's trying to do for them through us. I think it's wonderful that you have an ear and somebody has an ear to hear what you're saying, Kathy, in your own family. I think that's great. That's an opportunity. We say that a lot around here. I love it. It's an opportunity. And sometimes we feel like the opportunity, like we don't have, I don't want to say it, efficient words to express what we feel like God wants to say to them. But the truth is, other scripture back this, but God did not give you that opportunity without also giving you the utterance to what to say. So we got to go back to, I'm going back to James. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Quick to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying, because if we'll hear that, that's life. Quick to hear the life, so we won't actually give anything that's less than that life. Does that make sense to you? And, you know, to me, everything goes together. In Christ, everything goes together. I mean, you know, people talk about accidents or what a day we had and stuff like that. The day is of the Lord. Every day is of the Lord. The Lord led me to tell my brother when he had his ring finger taken off, God doesn't allow accidents to happen to his children. Only his will happens to them. And he looked at me and held that hand up like that, no finger here. He goes like, I can accept that. God will always give you acceptance in his word. I think it's for us to get in a position where we hear that word.
Yes.
What Oscar, I hearers only, what we're supposed to be hearers, but we're also supposed to be doers, right?
Right here in Matthew. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay, now here's the question. You read that scripture from Hebrew. Why is it fearful to fall into the hands of a living God?
For us, for the believer, I don't believe it's fearful. Mm-hmm. I believe that's for the unbeliever. So they would realize it's uncertainty. God honors his word, but his first word is he'll hear people cry out for repentance, right? Isn't that where we all came from? It was a step we repented?
And I keep saying all the time about my father, and I remember when he was getting ready to die, he just lay there and shook, and he said, I mean, he was so afraid, so afraid, so afraid. And he said, I rue the day I was born. And I thought to myself, what in the world could he have done to feel that way? And he was a sweet, wonderful man, but his thinking was askew. Because I don't know why, I have my idea why, but it's only an opinion. When we have clear thinking, and that is thinking on the foundation, you know, of the rock, then there is no fear. I mean, the one that fear not, little flock. Cast your anxieties on him. We should have no fear, no matter what comes our way. And that comes from the acknowledgement and the understanding that everything works together for good. And if you can't believe that, you fear because you think your father is unforgiving. That's my opinion.
I think sometimes fear is because of the unknown and not knowing what you're going to, you know, face, even we who are dependent upon the rock and we're not perfect. And daily there are things we face. Sometimes I've made decisions that were not of God or pleasing to him, which we know, and then especially when he's asking us about being forgiving to whomever or whatever they have done to us, and we know we have not done that, I think there would be some fear there sometimes, mm-hmm. not knowing consequences and knowing you've not been obedient in something. You don't feel like God is going to be done with you now. And I think because of the uncertainty of consequences, because what we sow, we reap, and we know we've not been kind to someone and not given out, you know, that what we get, you know, should expect in return.
Well, you know, having said all that, it's still in here that I hear a lot of is I don't know people's place in God, but I do know this, and they're in that same place as we are. Salvation's of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Their salvation is of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with you, it's of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you either believe in the word of God, mm-hmm. he would that none would be lost. I believe in that word, none. There's a whole lot of people in none. Doesn't leave anybody out. Mm-mm. So if you believe the word, or do you believe your eyes and your hearing of your ear and the circumstances, we do that, we're no better than anybody else in this world. We're supposed to believe into him, mm-hmm. and in Christ. In Christ. There's neither male nor female. I mean, God is so merciful. His mercy extends way beyond even what we've touched already. And it was from the foundation of the world that mercy was there. I mean, God's grace is sufficient. His mercies are new and afresh every day. Who are we, even the local body, to deny either one? And I so love that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, the thing is, we run interference on a lot of times on whosoever. Whosoever is at their moment, their time. And I'd say this, Christ is so faithful, their time is his time. He doesn't miss that. My goodness. He is more than we've ever known so far.
Do you think there's, this is something that puzzles me from time to time. Christ before being manifest as Jesus was God. So is it correct to say that God gave himself? Mm-hmm. He himself.
Yes.
Oh, what was that? When Abraham took David up and said, he himself.
He offered himself to sacrifice.
As a sacrifice.
It says that he, I'm trying to, I think the way it actually says it is that he will prepare himself.
Yes.
Yeah. And a sacrifice. And he himself was him being the sacrifice. Yeah. I believe that's the way it says it back in the Old Testament.
Which was interesting at that time because he had to prepare to be come Jesus. You know,
well, the thing is, we know he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
So this was all part of God's plan. He knew what was going to happen. Nothing caught him by surprise or anything like that. And he already had preordained that there would come the Lamb of God,
mm-hmm.
the actual Lamb of God, which was himself, as a sin offering, you know.
He had prepared. He had prepared us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were. I believe we were a part of him originally before we ever came into
yeah.
this world. You know, that's like that's why in the Old Testament it when it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it's the word Elohim, the plural word. You know,
mm-hmm.
and some people will say, well, it's plural because it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's plural because Elohim was the whole part of the whole consistency of him. And that's why he says in Psalms 81, I have said you are Elohim and sons of the Most High, you know, but you die like men. You die like Adam. Well, what was that? Was because we don't really recognize who we are and what we are. We haven't come to full recognition of that, you know. When we come to that full recognition, then we will do only the works that the Spirit of God inside of us directs us to do. We won't have that duality of nature, you know, which we still have a little bit to this, at this point, you know.
What's your answer to that question, Mike?
The question
well,
that he asked.
Yeah. Why is it a fearful thing?
Well, if I take it in text, who wrote the scripture here, which is, okay, and he's talking to people, to the Hebrews, and he's saying, it's fearful. Well, they're not all believers. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to fall into the hands of a living God if it scares you to death?
There's margins in here. They start out at 10, Hebrews 10, 19, hold fast the profession of your faith. Then it goes into 26. But let me tell you what it says in 25 first. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The very next title of the next verse is this. Fourth warning, danger of drawing back.
Mm-hmm.
You can't draw back unless you've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Drawing back. How about this? Not accepting. How about not going on? How about, just, there's so many examples of that. But I wanted to tell you, that's where the scripture falls, in that drawing back stage. But it also says, for we know not, we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Then it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful means terrible. That's what it's got a note here for us that. But it says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Otherwise, they were going through a battle. And anytime you're in a battle, I see it as going, I said this in a meeting once, and I got called immature, but I see where the Apostle Paul says, the things I would do is the things I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Well, you can call it anything you want, but I call that actual living. If there's a conflict going on within you, that means life is fighting for life, and something else is fighting for something else. Now, we can yield our members, which I totally believe that we shouldn't yield them to them, but we don't invite them to become persecuted. We don't invite them to come in and be in judgment. What the Word has given us instructions and hope for is we invite them in to come in and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine and everyone in here, Billy Graham, used to have that song say, just as I am. That's how we have to talk to people. That's how we have to represent God in the thing. He knows them already. Well, we don't know him, but I'll tell you what, I'm confident that he does. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was nothing made. I'm pretty sure they've all been made by God. I hope I didn't mess it up.
Can I quote you a scripture, Mike? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
So if you fall into the hands of the Lord and it's a fearful thing, what happens there?
You gain wisdom.
Is that the beginning of wisdom? Mm-hmm. Beginning of who you begin to recognize who and what he is, and you begin to acknowledge him as who and what he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I like to answer scriptures with scriptures, you know, because to be honest with you, a lot of the things that man tries to figure out, they're figuring with our natural mind. But I think if you find the answer, the real answer, you'll find it in the scriptures, you know, because they are they which do what? Testify who? Of what? Of me. But you won't come unto me. Mm-hmm. That, where are we going a lot of times to get the answer? We're going, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking commentaries or any of that stuff, because a lot of them are very, very good. But a lot of times commentaries are someone's opinion. Yeah. And are they looking through the eyes of the Spirit when they give you that opinion, when they give you that commentary of it? And that's why I believe what the scriptures say, study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing. And I think all of the answers that you would ask in the scriptures, about a scripture, the answer is in the scripture somewhere, you know. And that's where we need to apply what's in the scripture to whatever situation that is. And, you know, it's like that last time I spoke, and it talked about destruction or whatever it was. I can't remember the exact word it was. But I told you that the actual meaning of that word was circumcise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to circumcise you. And then it also had a reference in another of the dictionaries for the meaning of that word was circumcision of the heart. Is he going to destroy you, or is he going to circumcise your heart? Well, if he circumcises your heart, guess what? He did destroy that old man, mm-hmm. because the new man was born mm-hmm. of a knowledge of God, you know. So, I mean, you know, I know that's a little heavy to say that, but that's mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot in Scripture, and we need to compare Scripture with Scripture, and that's how we really find the true answers mm-hmm. to things a lot of times. Because, like I say, if he's talking about it's a fearful thing, now I haven't actually studied into that, so I'm not going to tell you it's exact same words when it says a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God, you know. I can't tell you it's the same word that says, you know, fear is the beginning of wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I don't know if it's the same word or not. It could be a different word. But I'm just saying, just looking at the scripture itself, that would explain what happens when it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when we fear him, and the fear is not necessarily, well, and I say it is a fearful thing. It you are afraid. There's times when I've been in the presence of the Lord and I was afraid. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I thought, wow, this is kind of scary. You know, God's an awesome God. You know, so I don't know. You know, there's different levels of this thing, you know, and you know, you can either take that or not take it, you know, either way, you know. I'm going to try not to talk today. I've been trying to keep quiet. I want to hear you guys talk. I do too much talking when I get in here.
The heading before Matthew 7:24 says, the two foundations. And it just keeps going over in my mind. There are not two foundations. Yeah. There is only the rock and not the rock.
Right.
So if you're on the rock, you're on the rock. If you're not on the rock, you're sinking. But there's a point to being not on the rock, because you can always get to the rock and get up on the rock. You know what I mean? If you're on the rock, you don't want to jump off into the not the rock. So there's a point to everything. It's not really two foundations. There is one foundation. And that is Jesus Christ,
yeah.
the Lord. Whatever it takes to get me there, whatever it takes to get my family there, whatever it takes,
yeah.
we're all going to be there. All, everyone, every knee shall bow,
mm-hmm.
every tongue shall confess. What a glorious day it'll be.
It's not the same word.
It's not okay. What? Read the definitions. For
well, us. In Hebrews, it's year, and it means morally dreadful, exceedingly fearful.
Okay.
Like that, and the other one is phobos, which is like a phobia, I
mm-hmm.
guess. But it's not the same word.
Well, what does that mean?
Phobos.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. Well, let's compare what they mean. Yeah.
Oh no.
Is one a Hebrew word and one is a Greek word?
Yeah.
Well,
that's one's Hebrew, one's Greek. Sure.
The fear of the Lord.
What was that scripture that you quoted before, Clyde? Where was that at?
Oh, in Hebrews.
No. The one you quoted about a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord. Did you quote that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Hebrews.
Okay, Hebrews.
That's
where you
10:31.
Yeah. What was it? Hebrews what?
10:31.
10:31. Okay.
You know, you.
That's the one. Go ahead.
You was talking about the rock. We've all been talking about the rock.
Yeah.
Actually, I see what my sister, my oldest sister, sing. That I never did see until this day. As being part of the rock, which we're part of the rock,
mm-hmm.
okay? I see us have hands reaching for those who stand on sand
mm-hmm.
to say, come, join us, become part of the rock. Mm-hmm. Do we have an extended hand to those that aren't on the rock, but are in the sand. I'm just saying at the level they're sinking, should they perish without knowing the rock? Not as long as we have breath. And it's not even our breath. It's His breath. Thank you, my sister.
So what's the phobos? What's that mean?
It says frightful. Fearful, terrible. Fearful.
Mm-hmm. So didn't the other one mean fearful also?
Basically the same thing.
Same thing, okay. Yeah. Basically just...
But it's a different word.
Worded it. Well, yeah. I know, but I mean, that's what you have to look at, the meaning of the words.
Right.
Because if it has the same meaning, mm-hmm. naturally a Hebrew word is not going to be a Greek word, and a Greek word is not going to be a Hebrew word.
But it could have the same meaning.
So I'm looking at this one in the Old Testament that says, yeah. It's taken from one of the verses that says, the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it is called pahad. And it is terror, dread, object of dread.
That's what you just said the mm-hmm. definition more or less for in the New Testament was, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah. But we know that the fear of the Lord sometimes means the awesome, to be in awe of the Lord. When you say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
That
well, what let's look at some times when some people fell into fear, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Revelations chapter 1, when John said what? He was in the Spirit on what?
The Lord's Day.
And he turned around, and what did he see? He described what he saw, and he said he fell like, he became undone, or he fell down like one dead.
Like dead, yeah.
That's pretty fearful. And Daniel, he had that revelation too. And he said he fell, I think he fell one down like one dead or was undone too. So it is a fearful thing to come into the total presence of God because He's so awesome. I mean, you know, but that doesn't mean, I don't know how to put it, that doesn't mean that you're so afraid that you run away from Him, because you can't really run away from that presence, you know. So, I mean, you know, the words pretty much mean the same, you know. So,
the Brother Eddie had me one time. Remember down at the old church, there was that sign, mm-hmm. and it got broke. It said, "Reverence the Holy Spirit."
Yeah, right.
I think that is part of that definition.
Right. Well, yeah.
Okay, I looked up the one that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That is another word for fear, and it still says fear, terror, awesome or terrifying thing, fear of God, respect, reverence, piety.
There you go, reverence.
So yeah, there's a quality of reverence. You know, you're not going to go up and say, "Hi God," you know, there's going to be a holding back due to reverence, which is, you know, some part of fear to it. I'm going, you know, that He is far above us.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling, knowledge that He's far above us.
Oh, He says, whereas He is. So I believe there's, like you say, the reverence, but He also calls us His friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So with your friend, you're able to share and be open.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, yes, there's the reverence.
Mm-hmm.
But He's open to us. There's a...
You know, I was watching a thing on television one time, and they were talking about young people who didn't hardly ever get in any trouble or anything like that. And they said, this was where they were checking into them, and they basically said, you know, why? You know, why? And they said they all answered with the same answer almost. You know what I mean? It was a similar answer. If I did that, my mom or my dad would kill me. Now, that's reverence. because they know that they'd be in big time trouble, you know, with mom and dad. So fear of that kind of fear is reverence. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, you had when you know, it amazes me sometimes when I see little kids today sometimes, you know, that are so disruly and so disobedient to their parents and don't, it's because they don't fear them at all. Mm-hmm. They have no fear there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm telling you, if your kids know that you will spank them if they misbehave, they're less likely to misbehave. But if they know you're going to say, "Now, honey, you shouldn't do that," and you're going to reason with them and all that stuff. Yeah, now, yeah, yeah, you watch a little kid when you do that. And you watch and see if they behave. Or you bribe them, you know. Then they're going to act up more because they know they got you. They got you because you'll bribe them, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, I guess maybe I might have been too strict sometimes when my kids. I don't know. But I could have brought my kids into your house. You could have had toys laying in the floor. They wouldn't have touched them without you saying it was okay, because they were taught. When you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch their stuff. And the reason we did that, like, we didn't take stuff off the tables and stuff. We left it there. They found out real quick if you picked up something you weren't supposed to, they got a little smack on the hand or something. First they'd say, "No, don't touch that." And they got a little smack on the hand or something. Well, after a while, you don't have to smack them on the hand. I could have came in your house if one of my kids was acting up. I could have looked at them and said, "Sit down." And you know what they would have done? They would have went and sat down. I mean, now that sounds rough, but which is easier, to do that or to fight with them your whole life because they're disobedient constantly? Now, a lot of people don't agree with that scripture, "Spare the rod and spoil the child," or basically, I think it says send them to hell. But basically, that's what happens. If you don't correct them, guess who will? People who don't love them. You're correcting them because you love them, not because you're wanting to be mean to them, but because you're wanting them to learn that they have to yield to authority and they have to respect other people's stuff and stuff like that. So, you know, When you come to realize that when somebody's when they're rebellious and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God, why is that? Because they've been disobedient, and they think they're gonna get really bad punishment. But I can tell you myself, some of the harshest punishment I've ever gotten from the Lord is when I felt like I failed Him the worst. Is when I felt like instead of Him sending fire down from heaven to burn me up, remember what the disciples said to Jesus? Let's call down fire from heaven. Mm-hmm. What did He say? You don't know what spirit you're of. But see, some of the worst correction I ever got from God is when I felt like He loved on me, even though I messed up. And then I felt even worse. You know, when I was a kid, if I did something and my mother spanked me, which she did, and she'd wear me out once in a while when I did something, but let me tell you what, if I made her cry, I'd rather hit me over the head with a stick than do that, because then I was hurting her, you know, and it was affecting her. And I believe that's part of how the discipline of God. And I believe falling into the hand of God, it's a fearful thing. But if you came to the Lord, I guarantee you that if you had a real heavy conversion, it was fearful when it happened at first. You were, and if you had the presence of the Lord come into a room or something, or feel the presence of the Lord in a room, it's a scary thing. It's not something where you, I mean, you know. I'm just telling you, it's a little different than what I think a lot of people make it out to be, you mm-hmm. know. It can be scary, you know. But anyway, whatever. So if we believe that he's going to regain everything, reconcile everything to himself, mm-hmm. and he's going to do it in love, mm-hmm. then that's not saying that they might have already been in hell. You know, sometimes a lot of people that don't know the Lord have been in hell. They've been in a situation where they didn't care if they lived or died, or wish they had died, you know. But until they come to know the Lord, then they know that love, that mercy, that forgiveness, you know.
You know, there's a scripture that says it's better that you fall on the rock than the rock fall on you.
Right.
I believe that's one of his mercies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and what did it say about Jesus up in the New Testament? That you can't go up to bring down and down to bring him up. That he ascended into, basically into hell, if you want to be technical with it. And he led what?
All
captivity captive.
Right.
In other words, all the people that from the days of Noah that had been disobedient, mm-hmm. what happened to them?
They got set free.
He let them they were in captivity. He led captivity captive. In other words, he captivated them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, but it is what it is. I mean.
Well, I can only say this. The night that I got saved, mm-hmm. and I fell into the hands of the living God,
yeah.
it wasn't because of fear. And it wasn't because I wasn't afraid. It was just the opposite. It was a spirit of relief,
yeah.
that I had let it all go. And it was a whole different thing. Just the opposite of what we were talking about.
Well, that's your commitment to the Lord. Most people, when they commit to the Lord, that's right. But have you ever had an experience where the presence of the Lord has been so strong in a room, or when you were praying or something, that it mm-hmm. was just awesome and overwhelming? See, if you have that kind of an experience, it's a little scary. Mm-hmm. It's a little scary.
Yeah, I don't think that is all the time.
No, but I'm just saying. Well, the first time it ever happened to you, what did it feel like?
My salvation was a process. Mm-hmm. I cannot say, well, Lord, I don't know that. Well, no. Just, he began dealing with me when I was 12, and I could say 12 years later. Mm-hmm. But the way he dealt with me, the first time there was fear. Mm-hmm. I was doing something in somewhere, and God said to me, I see you. And I see everything that you have done. That was scary. That was fearful. And I actually saw a form. Yeah, that was scary because of what I was doing,
Mm-hmm.
But from then, the way he dealt with me, it wasn't, I can't say, I know the month. I can't mm-hmm. say there was a day I said, I gave my heart to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just. I can't, that's not the way he dealt with me.
How did that affect your behavior?
When
that first time when he said, I see you. And I
oh! You. I was afraid. I said, oh God.
But from then on,
I'm getting out of
were
here.
There times when you chose your own behavior? Until.
Oh, I mean, after that, no, I wasn't in a position to thus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I just know the time when I said to him, I was going through some hard places when I lived in California. I said, whatever you want to do with my life, just do it. And a peace came upon mm-hmm. on me. And I had a peace from then until, when he just, how he dealt with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this pastor prayed over me and my friend Nedra, we We always talked about why we live. What's you die, you born, you die, you know, wanting to know all about life. We were teenagers then, and we would be on the phone, you know, real late at night and just sharing. And when she got saved, I was in California, and she called me and told me, I found the answer. She said, that which we've been talking about and looking for, I have found. And she started to share with me about Jesus. And then when I came back to Ohio, I saw her. I was going into a club. That's the worst hangover I ever had. I was, and they were going up to his sister's and in Michigan. Her, Betty, Puggy, the other sister. And they were on the way to Michigan and going up there and going to a meeting. And I went in and I was so unhappy, so miserable. And who did I see coming in to pick up these chicken sandwiches they had ordered down there? And she began to, she said, hug me and love me and tell me, oh, makes me cry, how much she loved me and how happy she was and what God was doing in her life. And they were going up there. And that was on a Friday. That Monday, sister, who sang, His Eyes on the Sparrow.
Yeah.
You know, the, and she was on Mike Douglas' show, and she was giving her testimony, and she was saying the very same things that, that Nedra said to me. I went down to the basement, and I was crying, and I called her, and I said, y'all have it. Prayer meeting, can I go with you? And she said, sure. And then she told me, like, smoked heavy. She said, and you can feel free to smoke. Who was going to sit in the car with a bunch of Christians? And they're singing and talking about the Lord. I'm going to pull out a pack of
light up.
No, Spirit of God all over you. And I tell you, she got off the phone. She said I was shouting, and she called Betty and them, and they said we're not gonna have prayer. They're not gonna have prayer meeting. They're going downtown Xenia to a church down there. Brother Allen, couldn't think of his name at the time. And she said, call her back and just tell her. And after she told me, you can smoke, we'll pick you up and everything. But my heart was ready to go. I don't care where it was going to be at. And we went down there, went to church, and things that they were saying, this is the new pastor will be coming into the Church of God in Urbana. I began to cry, and it was just, Lord, I just want something. I need something. So I say, and she said, you want to go up just for prayer? That's what she asked me. And when I went up, people were at the altar kneeling all along. Brother Allen, they were coming down laying hands and praying. He laid hands on both our heads and started praying, then he got quiet. And then he took his hands off of Nedra's, Nedra's on my left, and put his hands on my head again and prayed what was in my heart. I knew this is it. This is what I felt. It wasn't no repenting or what. I knew this was real, you know, because he, there was no way he knew what I was praying, what was in my heart, but God had shown him. So after that, I just started reading the Bible. I was just smoking. Reading one day, I was sitting there smoking. I looked and I said, why have I got this cigarette in my hand? What is this?
It's a marker.
I felt foolish. And I threw them away. And I still didn't know what had happened to me. So I went to a meeting in the sister church in Michigan. A bunch of them was having a house gathered. And when I drove up, I looked and I said, oh, I'm not going there with all them Christians. This is how I felt, but he was already doing. And so I went, and I could see them moving around, walking around, and singing and stuff. So I went to the door. This is Sister Schaefer's house. She was the one, Sister Schaefer's. That was way ahead of them at that Church of God. She heard Brother Eddie on the radio, and that's how we found out about him. I wasn't saved then, though. when she first heard him. And I knocked on the door, went in, and they said, oh, come on in, on there. And Catherine Ann was at the piano, playing the piano, and different was talking and singing. And I just sat in this chair, big chair right here, you know, not to be conspicuous. Here comes Sister Terry, well, who's this little darling? She was talking about me. And they said, oh, that's Brenda. And they started telling me how I went to church with them, and that was it. And she looked at me, and then she came over to me. She started praying over me, and she said, I am within you. I have never forsaken you. She began to prophesy over me. And all I could do was praise God. I raised my hand. That's the first time that I really raised, started just praying. And she said, oh, I see you as Mary of Bethany, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And from then on,
there you were on the rock.
Yes, had been on the rock, didn't know it. Oh,
praise God.
And that's what I can say. I went up to the altar and came up. It's, to me, it started when he didn't speak to me when I was 12. Mm-hmm. But I went on doing my, but I remember I read a psalm every night. I think the seventh grade. I read Psalm every night. I went up to the altar, got baptized at the Baptist church. They opened the doors of the church and you can't remember. Nothing was explained, you know that, but God has his time. And I tell you, went through a lot of things to get to this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember Mary and I lived, his sister, 17 years, two doors from one another, we were back at one another. We prayed together. We just, that's so precious, you know, to have a sister in the Lord and Betty and them, and just like that time. We go back and forth. And how God, I went to her, down to her house one day, and she had an experience in God. And I came in because she never locked her door, even up to these years. And she said, Brenda. And she just started, she couldn't even talk. She kept flowing her tongue. She couldn't even speak English to me. And she kept trying to tell me what she'd experienced. And I just joined in the flow, prayed with her. And we had a God's presence fill her little living room. I can see it now. Mm. And how he began to show us things and speak. It's so good to have, you know, to pray with.
Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a great blessing to somebody listening.
Oh, God, it's so precious.
I think it's time to close. Yes. Would you?
Sure. Father, we thank you for your indwelling spirit.
Yes,
I thank you for calling us to yourself. We're lost without you, Father. You're our rock.
Yes, Father.
We just thank you for calling
Praise
us.
You, God. We thank you, Lord.
And keeping us in your way.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, we praise you and thank you and we reverence your presence here.
Yes, my God.
Lord, just
praise you,
we're
Jesus.
So grateful.
Yes.
Bless the service to come, Lord, and
yes.
Fill your people. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.